In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Several years ago, we had to go shopping for some old furniture. We moved to a rectory in New York State, which was built in 1865, and our modern furniture was just too big or out of character for that house. So we went to an antique and used furniture place and bought a few things. One item we bought was a round colonial reproduction table. And when I got it home, I opened the drawer and I found inside an Episcopal pamphlet, Forward Day by Day, from Advent 1943. It seemed like an omen that I was meant to buy that table. Of course, it was written in the middle of World War II, somber days, and today's December 7th, the anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, so it brings to memory those somber days. And as I read that pamphlet, I was surprised by how much more penitential Advent was in those days. Now, our theme today is also penitential, perhaps reminiscent of Advent past. Our collect prays that we will heed the prophet's warnings as they preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, so that, quote, we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Now, I was thinking, if you asked anybody almost on the street what they knew about the Christmas prophets, they would probably say something like, well, sales are up or down. It's a homonym, words that sound the same but are spelled differently and, of course, have radically different meanings. At Christmas, we celebrate peace on earth, harmony, gift-giving, sharing with others, reconciliation. But we do all this in the context of right and wrong, of what God expects of us, how God wants us to be better, kindlier, more loving and giving people. Have you noticed, as I have, how many Christmas stories there are on the theme of persons finding their better selves? You could start with Dickens' Christmas Carol, or one of my personal favorites, It's a Wonderful Life. If you want to hear my Jimmy Stewart imitation, I'll do it afterward, but you got to ask me. But there are a whole host of other stories like this, aren't there? The Grinch and so on. The process in each of these cases begins with repentance. Now, repentance might be the less fun part of our Christmas celebration, but Christmas would be incomplete without it. Advent begins in the dark, and we need to face the darkness for what it is, or else we can never know the joy of the light. Just like we have to face Good Friday if we're ever going to understand the joy of Easter. Now, John the Baptist, whom we just read about, is a traditional prophet. He lived in the wilderness very simply. Now, here's a factoid for you that I just hadn't thought about till recently. More than half of the Old Testament, or what we now often call the Hebrew Scriptures, more than half are the words of the prophets. Now, at my house, when I present a factoid, the tradition is that my wife or whoever else is there will say, how about that? So the prophets are more than half of the Old Testament. How about that? You got it. Thank you. That's right. Prophets emerged during a time when Israel was developing kings and political leaders. They stood outside of the power structure of government. Now, if we were, again, to ask most people what it was that prophets did, I think a lot of people would say that they foretold the future. Well, that's not quite right. Sometimes they did in connection with some other things, but that was not their primary purpose. And while I'm on that, I think there's a caricature in cartoons, right, that keeps showing up of a prophet. Usually shows a tall, skinny man dressed in rags with long hair and beard carrying a sign that says, "Repent," or "The end is near," something like that. Well, that's the prophet of doom, the prophet who's bringing bad news. Actually, the main purpose of prophets is to be what I'll call forth tellers. That is, they hear and tell the word of God, the message of God, when other people can't seem to hear it or know it. I personally love the prophets. I know when I preached about saints a few weeks ago, I said I love the saints, and I do, but I also love the prophets. They remind me of that line from the Jimmy Buffett song that says, "If we weren't crazy, we'd all go insane." See, the prophets are fanatics, and they're kind of like just one tick over the line of insanity. They could be any sort of people, poets or preachers, social critics, moralists. Amos describes himself as a dresser of sycamore trees, some sort of agricultural job. Sometimes they engaged in bizarre behavior, even street theater. As you may remember, Hosea married a prostitute and said that she symbolized unfaithful Israel, and that he forgave her and married her, symbolizing what God does. The prophet Jeremiah took a loincloth and he chopped out a hole in the defensive wall of Jerusalem, and he buried the loincloth in that wall. And then after some time, he made a great ceremony of going back and showing the people this loincloth, now full of holes and pretty much destroyed. And he said, "This, O Israel, is the strength of your defense against the empire of Babylon. It's worthless." He was trying to get them to repent. It's a little unusual what he did. The prophets' voices were shrill, about one octave too high. And I picture them as pointing the bony finger at people or at the king, heedless for their own safety. Indeed, many of them were persecuted or even killed. But no matter how powerful the attempt was to silence them, they still spoke out God's messages. So what were some of the issues that they spoke about? Well, I wish I had time to go into all that, and I don't, but I'll mention a couple. One was that Israel felt as if they were God's chosen people and therefore were the beneficiaries of lots of privileges, and they were somehow superior to other people. That's not what God had in mind. God had in mind to bless them so that they would be a blessing and bring his message and his truth to other people. So they liked the benefits, didn't like the responsibilities. Another big problem was, the fancy term for it is syncretism, you could call it idolatry, where people would think, "Well, yes, I believe in my Hebrew faith, but you know, those Canaanites, you know, what's wrong with some of those statues? I put a few of those in my house," even though they symbolize fertility and wealth and lots of things that the Jews don't believe in, you know, I can put, who cares, you know? And so the prophets would rail against that sort of behavior. Amos, in famous words, said, "Let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Also, Israel displayed the outward trappings of being religious, that is, keeping all the rituals, but not being sincere in their hearts. And so Amos says, speaking for God, "I hate and despise your solemn assemblies and your feasts." Micah says, "What does God ask of you? Only this, to ask, act justly, to love tenderly, and walk humbly with your God." Now, I can easily imagine, and perhaps you can, that many of the sins and failings the prophets railed against have their parallels in modern society. Indeed, God did not stop speaking with the ancient prophets. He continued to call prophets in the intervening centuries and indeed throughout history right up until the present time. And so what about us today? Well, I don't think any of us enjoy very much having God's spokesman pointing the bony finger at us and tell us what we were doing wrong. I thought about doing that with you this morning for about 10 seconds. Not only would you not enjoy it, but I don't know you well enough to know what all your sins are yet. But I'll learn. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe there are other people. Anyway, remember that line from the song years ago? I'm dating myself. By Simon and Garfunkel, "Sounds of Silence," that line that says, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls." Again, prophecy has not died. It's rather people who would prefer not to listen to it. And in that way, our age is really no different from any other. It's painful, it's upsetting to hear prophecies against our behavior. In fact, I think most people's reaction is first to deny it and reject it. But God, like the most loving parent, judges or corrects people. Why? Not to make them angry or upset, not because he doesn't like them. The opposite, because he loves us so much that he wants to put us on the right path. Kind of like the shepherd in the first lesson this morning. So we pray that we will heed the warnings of the prophets today. I would like to challenge all of us to hear what the prophets are saying to us in our own time. And what are some of the evils that today's prophets speaking for God would have us repent of? And by the way, I will remind you that when you read the prophets, the major subject that God's upset about has to do with economics and abusing the poor and so on. I know you thought it would be sex. I hope I didn't disappoint you. I'm sure God has thoughts about sex too, but the main thing he's concerned about is how people treat other people. Now, I read in our newsletter, The Wheel, and also a man spoke about it at the service last night, that St. Catharines has just joined an organization called HOPE. And HOPE is an organization that unites churches of many denominations to work together for justice and harmony and to solve community problems. I think that's an excellent group. In fact, I used to belong to it, but my church was kind of far away from Tampa, so I eventually dropped out because I didn't really have much in common with dealing with Tampa issues. But look, I'm back. So now I'm back to being part of HOPE again. It's a wonderful organization. I hope we'll all support it. It's one good way, I think, that we combat the sins of injustice. Just one more sin I'd like to talk about for a second, and that is the sin of racism. It's been in the news so much recently. I know, and you know, that racism is wrong, and I hate it with every fiber of my being. I have a vision of all races and ethnic groups living in harmony and serving God around his heavenly throne. I'll just give you one image. We went to a wedding of the daughter of some friends of ours, and at the reception, our friend was sitting down having something to eat or drink, And this little black boy ran over to her and put up his arms. Oh, by the way, she has white hair and blue eyes, just like you. And the little boy said, "Grandma." Yeah. I'll never forget that. It made me think, how can you be a racist if the people of the other ethnic group are part of your family? I don't think you can. So that's my wish, is that we would all be connected like that. So if I accidentally say or do anything that could be construed as racist, I hope you'll call me on it, and I hope you'll let me do the same. Christmas is coming, the celebration of our Savior's birth, the one who came to bring peace and harmony, healing and justice, and even eventually a new heaven and a new earth. And we, you and I, are part of that process, clearly deciding to be part of his work, members of the body of Christ. The prophets remind us that it's all too easy to slip away from our mission. So it's a good thing occasionally, often in fact, to do a reality check, to look at evil for what it is, to see how it impinges our world, our society, and each of us personally. And although evil is real and powerful, I remind us that God is yet more powerful. And so we need to rededicate ourselves to being God's servants. So my challenge, again, is that all of us endeavor, try to hear the words and warnings of the prophets. So where do we hear the voice of prophets today? I tried to think of some examples, and all I came up with was that this or that person may say something that sounds like it comes from God, but it was hard for me to think of an individual that always spoke for God. Anyway, it's a good challenge to listen. And guess what? It might even be possible that you or I might be called on to be a prophet or speak prophetically on some issue sometime. All of this, repentance and having a humble heart, provides a welcome home for the Christ child to be reborn in us. Amen.